Let's look for our message today to the book of Psalms. And the verse of scripture that I'm going to read and use for text is found in Psalm 119, verse 71. Psalm 119, 71. David writes, "It is good for me, that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes and thy way." In other words, David is saying, I was taught by trouble. I was taught in and by the troubles that God brought upon me and into my life. Now, if you want to read about real trouble and real trials and real affliction, read the book of Job. Here was a man who was tried by God as perhaps no other man has ever been tried by God. He lost everything, literally everything. He was so high. He said, I was at ease, and God brought me so low. In Job 16, let's just read a few of the things that he had to say about this trial, this time of affliction. In Job 16, verse 11 and 12, now listen carefully. He said, God hath delivered me into the hands of the ungodly. God has turned me over into the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath taken me by the neck and shaken me to pieces. He hath taken me by the neck and shaken me to pieces. That's what Job said. In Job 19, verse 9, he says this, God hath stripped me of my glory. He hath taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am clean gone. I am gone. All my friends hate me, and they whom I love are turned against me. In Job 23, verse 8, he said, I go forward, and God is not there. The Lord God not only took him by the neck and shook him to pieces and destroyed him on every side, but God withheld his presence from Job. He said, I go forward, and he's not there. And I go backward, and I cannot see him. On the left hand, I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand. I cannot see God. I cannot find God. Now, Job was so high and brought so low. But now listen to this. Listen carefully. Job didn't try to hide his sorrows. He was a man in great sorrow. He wept. It's no sin to weep. It's no sin to mourn in time of trial and time of sorrow. God's people are people with tender hearts. And when they bear the rod, they feel it. They feel it. They weep. When they walk through the valley of trial and suffering, they hurt. And they weep and they mourn in time of trouble. Paul said this. He said, I have great heaviness of heart. I have continual sorrow of heart for my brethren. Peter said this, if need be, you are in heaviness through many trials. I see the hand of God in things that happen in my life, and you see the hand of God in things that happen to your life, in your life, but they still hurt. You still feel the pain. You still weep. It's no sin to feel pain and to weep and to feel sorrow. Paul said this. He said, we sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. We do sorrow. We know what sorrow is. We know what trouble is. We know what trial is. But we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. When my son was killed in the Vietnam War, I knew it was God's will. I knew it was the purpose of God. But that didn't take the hurt out of it. It still hurt, and it hurt deeply, and it hurt for a long time. It still hurts. Just because we recognize the hand of God in a matter doesn't take the hurt out of it. Doesn't take the affliction out of it. Doesn't take the sorrow out of it. We sorrow. And don't you let anybody ever tell you that it's a sin to weep or a sin to know what sorrow is. Our Lord was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. But a believer's sorrow is sanctified by worship. When Job received the sad news of the destruction of all of his property, he was disappointed. When he received the news of the death of all 10 of his children, he was plunged into deep sorrow and heavy grief and mourning. You imagine? He lost one. He lost the whole family. He rent his clothes in sorrow. He shaved his head in grief. And he fell down on the ground. But he worshiped God. Now there's the difference. A believer's sorrow is sanctified by worship. By worship. He didn't murmur. He didn't complain. He didn't grumble. He didn't find fault with the purpose of God. Not at all. He didn't find fault with the providence of God. He didn't compare himself with others. He didn't say, well, why did this happen to me? It should have happened to the fellow down the road. I'm a better man than he is. Why did it happen to me? Why didn't it happen to him or to her? He didn't charge God with foolishness, with injustice. But when he brought in the news, his heart was broken. He was plunged into deep sorrow and tears. His heart was broken, but he worshiped God. He worshiped God. Now, here's what I'm saying. If grief presses you to the ground, then worship there. Then worship there. You don't have to jump up and run, click your heels, and say you don't hurt, and you're not sorry, you're not in sorrow. If grief presses you to the ground, worship God there. If trial has laid you low, worship God there. If floods of sorrow have weighed you down, worship God there. They came and told Job, everything's gone. Your children are all dead. He poured ashes on his head and tore his clothes and lay down on the ground in sackcloth, but he worshiped there. He worshiped there. He fell down. It was his grief that brought him down. It was his sorrow that brought him down. It was his affliction that brought him down. He fell down and worshiped. Well, not only should a time of trial and sorrow be a time of worship, but a time of learning. And that's what I'm talking about in this message. Taught by trouble. A time of learning. David said in my text, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn. That I might learn some things. You know, David talked to himself one time in trouble. In Psalm 42, verse 5 and 6, he's talking to himself here. He says, Psalm 42, 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? It was cast down. His soul was cast down in sorrow. He said, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you troubled in me? Soul, why are you troubled? Hope thou in God. I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Hope thou in God. And David learned in his times of trouble. These men of God, their times of trouble were sanctified by worship. By worship. But also sanctified by a time of learning. They learned in time of trouble. They learned in the valley of the shadow of death, in affliction. Job fell down and worshiped, and he said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm saying that Job learned four things in this awful time of sorrow and trouble. He learned four things. The first thing he learned was this, and I see all four things in what he said. They came and told him, the Sabaeans fell upon your oxen. The Chaldeans fell upon your sheep and camel. The tornado struck the house and killed your children. And Job fell down and worshiped God. And then he said some things. He learned some things. He said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What did Job learn? Number one, Job learned the brevity of life and the certainty of death. Job learned the brevity of life. He said, I came, I shall return. I came and I shall return. That's his summary of life. I came and I shall return. I read a story one time. There was an old man standing on a street corner. And a friend of his walked up to him, and they exchanged the time of day and a word of greeting. And then the friend said to the old man, he said, my friend, what is life? What is life? And the old man stood there silently, not a word. And then in a moment, he turned and walked away. And sometime later, these two met again, this old man and this friend. And the friend walked up to him and said to him, the other day, I asked you a question, and you didn't answer me. And the old man said, I answered you. No, he said, you didn't. You didn't. He said, I asked you, what is life? And you were there, and then suddenly you were gone. You were there one moment, and then you were gone. You never did answer my question. The old man said, I did answer your question. You asked me, what is life? And I told you. That was my answer. My answer was, we're here one moment, and gone the next. And gone the next. We're here one moment, and gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. That, my friend, is life. The scripture says it's like a steam vapor. It's like a shadow. It's like a weaver's shuttle. Job said in chapter 42, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow and continueth not. Life is so brief. Job said, I came, I shall return. I see life sometimes, I think of it like a procession or a parade. As you're standing watching a parade go by, we're going down the valley one by one. The old song used to say, we're going down the valley one by one with our faces toward the setting of the sun. I think about my own life. When I was a child, I knew my grandparents quite well. I spent quite a bit of time with my grandparents, but they're gone. They were here. They were very real to me as a young boy. Used to spend days with them, weeks with them. But they're gone. And my parents are gone. And my only brother is gone. And one of my sons is gone. They were here. They were here. They were really here. And they were here for a good while, it seemed like to me. But they're gone. Now it seems like they've been gone a long time. So Job learned in this time of trouble, it shut him up to some truth. And maybe David was saying the same thing. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn something. Slow down and shut up and learn something. And I learned the brevity of life. I came and I'll leave. Children were all gone. And then Job learned the frailty of earthly possessions. Listen to what he said. Naked I came. Naked I came. That's how I came. I came and I shall return. I came naked, and that's where I'm going. Naked. I didn't bring anything with me. Not going to take anything out with me. Job had nothing when he was born. Neither did you. But he lived to accumulate great wealth. Job lived to accumulate great possessions and great wealth and large holdings and a big family. And here he sat, after the whirlwind of judgment had swept through, everything gone. It was all gone. He thought, of course, when he got that case of boils and was scraping himself with the piece of glass and all but dead, he thought, this is the end. And he said, naked, I came into this world, and I'm going out naked. I'll tell you, when we leave this earth, we'll take nothing with us. We'll go out naked. Why is it so hard for us to learn this lesson that's so obvious? That a man's life does not consist in the things which he possesses. You're born into this world and you just you kind of grow up and go to school and get an education, learn something, then start fighting to get all you can get, fighting to get property and fighting to get a boat and a house and a farm and stock and savings and securities and bonds and status and influence and power and prestige and office and position and all these things. Then one day you get cancer or heart trouble and lay down and die. And you leave every bit of it. And they don't even remember you very long. Don't even remember you. There's a fellow waiting down the road to take your place. Take your job and take your position and live in that house you're living in. Somebody's going to live in that house you're living in someday. That's right. You talk about your yard and your trees and your flowers. No, they're God's flowers and God's trees. And somebody else is going to live on that. Somebody else is going to lease that land one of these days and live on it. And then he's going to be gone too. The fashion of this world fadeth away. Somebody moves in, dies, and take him out. Somebody else moves in, dies, and take him out. Somebody else moves in, dies. It just keeps on. It's like a procession. Rich young ruler, the Lord told him, said, sell all you have and give it to the poor and follow me. He'd like to have that option again, wouldn't he? He made the wrong decision. But we can't learn it. We just can't learn it. If you be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above, not the things of the earth. And here's the thing. If God is determined to teach us that lesson, he can teach it. But he'll have to teach it in time of trouble, in time of trial. Because we're such poor learners when the sun's shining. We just haven't got time to learn. We don't have the desire to learn. We're just bent on these things of the world, and we just don't have time to sit down and listen. We're too busy. Well, God can unbusy you real quickly. And God can, you say, I don't have time to read. Well, if he's pleased to show his grace to you, he'll give you some time to read. Well, I just don't have time to pray. I don't have time to worship God. I don't have time to search the scriptures. If you want his own, he'll make the time for you. But he may do it in a hard fashion. Job learned the frailty of earthly possessions. The frailty. And then Job learned something else. Job saw the hand of God in everything. The hand of God in everything. Listen to what he said. He said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taken away. He learned the brevity of life. He said, I came and I'm going to leave. And then he learned the frailty of human possessions. He said, naked I came into this world and naked I'm going to leave. But in the meantime, I enjoyed some things. I enjoyed a house and a farm and some animals and a bunch of fine children, grandchildren, and so forth. But the Lord gave them. The Lord gave them. And the Lord had taken them away. Job learned that he saw the hand of God in everything. He learned that what he had, God gave him. God gave him. The Lord gave it. Listen to Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel 2, verse 6. The Lord killeth, and the Lord maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave, and he bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor, and the Lord maketh rich. Did you know that? The Lord maketh poor, and the Lord maketh rich. The Lord raiseth the beggar from the dunghill and sets him on the throne among princes. What hast thou that thou hast not received? Paul asked that question in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. He said, who maketh thee to differ? What do you have that you didn't receive from God? Well, if you received it, why do you boast as if you didn't? Why are people so class conscious? Let a fellow get a little bit of money, and he gets so proud and boastful and so high and mighty and lifted up above his poor neighbors. God gave it to him. Let a man get a position. He gets to be elected chief of police or mayor or senator, congressman. He gets so all-fired proud and arrogant, you know, like he did it himself. God gave it to him. Let a fellow have a little strength and ability to play a little ball. These young kids do that in high school. They get so arrogant. Or in college, some of these star athletes, they get so proud. So proud. And then one of them gets his neck broke on a football field, and he gets so sweet and humble all of a sudden. God gives and God takes away. God gives. Job didn't say, I earned it or I deserved it. This is the product of my hard work. He said, the Lord giveth. The Lord giveth. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. James said, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from God, with whom there's no change. Now, Job was a wise man. He learned something. He said, I came into this world naked. I'm going to leave here naked. And in the meantime, I've enjoyed some rich blessings and some good gifts. But the Lord giveth. The Lord giveth. And all that I have materially, all that I have physically, all that I have spiritually is the gift of God. Did you know that? Did you know that? Repentance is the gift of God. Have you been led to repent toward God? Then it was the goodness of God that led you to repentance. Have you been given faith in Christ and an understanding of the Scriptures? Faith is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. 1 John 5:11, this is the record. God hath given us eternal life. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the what? The gift of God is eternal life. Job saw that everything he had, God gave him. Now wait a minute. But Job saw also that God was pleased to take it away. Take it away. God did. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Now this servant rushed in and said, the Sabaeans have fallen upon the oxen and taken them away. The Chaldeans, those wicked Chaldeans, have come down in a great band and took all the sheep and the camels. And while he was yet speaking, another servant rushed in and said, hey, a tornado hit the house where your children were having a celebration and killed every one of them. And Job didn't fall down to the ground and tear his hair and rent his garments and say, those awful Sabaeans, I'm going after them. Those awful Chaldeans, they shouldn't have done that. That awful tornado, why did it happen? No. He fell down and he said, the Lord gave. And the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job learned that God gave, and God has the right to take it away. It's His prerogative. It's His right. He's God. That's what David said. Listen to Psalm 39. This is a good text. Psalm 39:9. David said, I open not my mouth, for God did it. That's a good time not to open your mouth. I open not my mouth, because God did it. That's what David said. And then Eli, when Samuel told him that the Lord was pleased to kill both of his sons, when, you know what that old man said? He said, well, it's the Lord. Let him do what he will. It's the Lord. Let him do what he will. Our Lord took Jeremiah to the potter's house and let him watch the potter take the clay and mold a vessel on the wheel. And he said, Jeremiah, as that clay is in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hands. And Paul picked it up and said, he will, according to his will, make of the same lump a vessel unto honor and a vessel unto dishonor. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. God gave, and God took away. And then the fourth thing Job saw was this. He saw that the Lord was to be praised in all things. That God was to be praised in all things. Because this was the end of his little sermon. When they brought the bad news, the horrible news, he fell down, tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and wept openly. And he said, oh, naked, naked, I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord now hath, in his good providence and purpose, taken it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Paul summed it up in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Paul said this, in everything give thanks. Whatever, whether in a funeral or a wedding, give thanks. Acknowledge and recognize the hand of God in these things. Whether in a funeral or a wedding, give thanks in everything. In birth or in death, give thanks. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Rejoice evermore. Give thanks. Learn to give thanks. Any of us can give thanks in birth. But He said in everything. In death too. Give thanks in health. Give thanks in sickness. I know this is difficult. But it's something we must not throw up our hands and say, I just can't get it. I can't attain unto it. I can't lay hold of it. Let's try. Job did, and Job, like Elijah, was a man of like passions. Give thanks in gain or in loss. Give thanks in success or failure. Give thanks in plenty or poverty. Give thanks in summer or winter. Why? Because all things work together for the eternal good to them who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Learn in trouble. Talk by trouble.